Good evening, everyone. Now we are going to start our meditation session. Please find a comfortable posture. Keep your back straight. Gently close your eyes. Relax your body. Take a few deep, long breaths. Release them. And relax your body, relax your mind. Now feel your entire body. Let us start by practicing loving kindness. Send thoughts of loving kindness to yourself first. Please repeat these positive and loving thoughts in your mind. May I be well. May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May I be free from anger. May I be free from suffering. May I be free from jealousy. May I be free from danger. May I be free from illness. May I be well. May I be Now, as we experience loving kindness, let us radiate the same loving thoughts to our friends. Send the same thoughts to our teachers. Send the same thoughts to our mother. Send the same thoughts to our fathers. Send the same thoughts to our brothers. Send the same thoughts to our sisters. Send the same thoughts to our relatives. May my mother be well, happy and peaceful. May my father be well, happy and peaceful. May my sisters be well, happy and peaceful. May my brothers be well, happy and peaceful. May my relatives be well, happy and peaceful. May my friends be well, happy and peaceful. Be now send your beings be free from anger. May all beings be free from suffering. May all beings be free from danger. May all beings be free from jealousy. May all beings be free from illness and injury. May all beings be well. 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 Now slowly turn your attention to your breath. Every breath you take in and take out is taken mindfully. Focus on your natural, ordinary breath. Mindfully think, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. our mind thoughts going everywhere. Our mind go to the future, or our mind go to past. That is our mind nature. Now you focus on present moment. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. Now observe your mind and observe your body. Your body is relaxed and your mind is calm and peaceful. Please bring your palms together in front of your heart. Make a wish for yourself. May I be well. May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May peace be with you. Thank you very much. Open your eyes. Please open chanting book page number 4. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi saṅghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi saṅghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Anicca vata saṅkhāra uppāda vaya dhammino uppajjitvā niruccanti te saṅ upasamo sukho. Sabbe satta avera hontu. Sabbe satta abhya pajja hontu. Sabbe satta aniga hontu. Sabbe satta sukhi attanam pariharantu. Manu pubbang gama dhamma. Manu settaya manasachi padduttena. Bhāsati vā karoti vā. Tato naṁ dukkha maṁ veti. Chakkaṁ va vahato padaṁ. Manu pubbaṁ gamā dhammā. Manu setta manu manasache pasannena bhasati va karoti va tato nam sukha mam veti chayava anapayini. Thank you. Now, Steve will present his Dhamma talking. We kindly invite.
Yep, I think it's working. Okay. Welcome, everybody. I hope I do a good job. I've never done this before, and I'm a little nervous, so we'll see what we can do here. My name's Steve. I've been coming to the temple for about 6 or 7 years, and my talk today is about mental health and mindfulness, largely because, not because I have any expertise in either one of those things. I'm not a monk. I'm not a therapist, but I've spent a lot of time with both of them, and so I'm hoping maybe I can share some things that that I've learned and maybe help inspire some of you on your way. I found a good quote that I thought would be helpful. It said, "Mindfulness is simply being aware of what is happening right now without wishing it were different, enjoying the pleasant without holding on when it changes, which it will, being with the unpleasant without fearing it will always be this way, which it won't." And I picked that quote out largely because in my own life, I've had a lot of ups and downs. I've struggled with depression, anxiety. I've done a lot of self-help books, therapy, medications. And it's all a practice in terms of not sort of grasping to good times and not sort of despairing in the difficult times. And so I thought that quote would be very sort of a good way to sort of start off a few thoughts that I wrote down. One of the ways that the frameworks I wanted to kind of talk about was sort of the Four Noble Truths that the Buddha talked about. And there's an author, Jack Kornfield, who does a lot of connections between mental health and Buddhism. And he compared a lot of the Four Noble Truths to a psychological diagnosis. He said the symptoms of mental health are much like the First Noble Truth, which is relating to suffering and dissatisfaction. A lot of our struggles come from things we're unhappy with. We're unhappy with how we're feeling. We're unhappy with how things are going sometimes. And so we call that kind of a symptom of the problem. Another connection I like to make is sort of the story of the two arrows or the two darts, in that sometimes something bad happens or something negative happens that we're not happy with. We step on a nail, or the dog is barking too loud. So that's the first arrow or the first dart. The second one comes from the suffering that comes as a result of that. The mind-made things, as we just chanted, that the mind-made products of those unhappiness. Being unhappy with being unhappy, I've done that before. Being unhappy with the dog barking, being unhappy with stepping on a Lego. Unfortunately, most of our suffering comes from the unhappiness that we create in our minds about those things. The reality is the dog barking or stepping on a Lego, it's uncomfortable, it's not very fun. But the suffering, if you really think about it, comes from your thoughts that come about that. Oh, that stupid dog barking again, or that kid left his Legos lying around, or that driver cut me off on the way over here. A lot of our suffering and our unhappiness comes from sort of the way we explain those things. The second noble truth, and as Jack Kornfield talks about the causes of our suffering, comes out of the noble truth around craving, desire, and attachment. I've certainly had times in my life where I've been craving, things to be different than they were. That's okay. And so what the Buddha talks about is so that there's a path towards healing and towards treatment, and letting those things go. I didn't think I would choke up a little bit. Sorry, as I bring myself back together, sorry about that. So one of the things that I've been working with my therapist about, and I think it's really helpful, is this concept of equanimity. It's talked about in Buddhism a lot, and it's talked about in therapy and mental health. It's the idea that a lot of our reactions to life come with sort of three major sort of parts of our brain, the reptilian brain, of sort of fight, flight, and freeze. And so you think about how a lot of the times when something happens to us, our bodies react very quickly with a fight, flight, or freeze response. And your body gets flooded with sort of adrenaline and hormones and sort of this way to kind of getting your body ready to go, ready to fight. And unfortunately, in my own experience, that tends to, if I start opening my mouth after those things happen, bad things happen. So equanimity is the concept of trying to sort of even out your mind, letting thoughts pass, much like our meditation practice, and start to separate your feelings from your reaction. So you might be unhappy that somebody cut you off on the way here, which that happened. But sort of the reaction to that doesn't have to be immediate, doesn't have to be explosive, doesn't have to be in that hot state. And even on the positive side of things, like, you know, we tend to like ourselves some Portillo's chocolate cake. The concept of equanimity would say, okay, like that piece of cake was really good. And I got, you know, I have a little bit of that sugar sort of thing that kicks off in my brain when I eat sugars. And they, you know, neuroscientists would say that's a dopamine hit. So what happens is we get this sort of positive dopamine hit when we get something that tastes really good. But the Buddha would teach a little bit that there's a craving response, and that's a natural response in our brain that we want more. And so we have to kind of be careful and sort of separate some of those feelings from your reactions. And so how that's sort of kind of how that works, and I think that's really connects nicely to sort of some mental health connections as well. Look, my other thoughts. Oh, right. So I found a really helpful resource that I've used myself from Tara Brach. She's another writer who talks a lot about mental health and Buddhism, and she uses the RAIN method to help with equanimity. And I think it really does nicely connections in terms of some of our Buddhist teachings. So the RAIN method is to, when something happens, so picture in your mind for a second of something that's happened today, recently, that is that was a negative experience, something that upset you, something that bothered you, and let's practice this together and see if this works for you. And this is something my therapist does with me too. He says, you know, he calls it psychological first aid. So something bad happened, you stepped on a Lego, somebody cut you off in traffic. So Tara would say, start with the R, which is to recognize what's going on. Okay, what just happened? What's going on inside my mind? What's my emotions about this? What are my thoughts about this experience? The second letter of RAIN is A, which is just allow it to be there. And that's something we practice in meditation practice, just allowing it to be, just sitting with it for a second. And one of the things I've learned, harder lesson, is sometimes it just happened. I don't know, you stepped on the nail. The person cut you off. It just happened. You can't undo it. And that's a hard one for me. You know, my therapist tells me, don't keep ringing that bell. It already happened. You know, the more you tell yourself that it happened, the more angry you get about it happening, the more upset you get. It happened. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just saying it happened. And you're in control of how you respond. So once you've sort of recognized what's happened, you've allowed it to be there, then once you've cooled down a little bit, you've let sort of that amygdala brain, you know, firing up, let that calm down, then you kind of move to your frontal brain and you start to investigate your thoughts and your feelings about that. What kind of emotions did this experience bring up? What are the feelings in my body? Buddhism talks a lot about the connection between brain and body. Are these feelings coming from something from my past? Why does this bother me so much? Why is this so difficult for me to process or deal with? And then start to think about, are my thoughts reasonable? Sometimes I have the most sort of crazy, unreasonable thoughts when I'm angry. So start to question those. Like, are those really helpful thoughts? Are those really working for me? Are those really accurate? And my therapist helps me talk about sort of, don't believe everything you think. That's a quote I've also seen from other writers too. If there's a negative thought, challenge it. Let it go if you can. If it's not serving you, kind of just let it go. And I know Buddhism talks a lot about letting things go. And I think nourishing the positive, I haven't talked a lot about that, but that's also really important too. A lot of neuroscience nowadays is talking about how to rewire your brain by focusing less on the negative, letting those things go, and rewiring your brain towards the positive and focusing on the good things that are going well in your life. And then the last letter of Tara Brach's method is N, which is nurture yourself with loving kindness. And just like today with meditation, we start with ourselves. We start with taking care of ourselves and loving ourselves and forgiving ourselves. And then we can spread that to others around us and to the world around us. How are we doing? I wasn't sure how much. Oh, this way it went a lot faster than I thought. I'm also talking faster than I thought too, so that's okay. sorry. So another quote that I found to kind of, I don't know, wrap up this little piece of my talk, because I don't really have a whole lecture, which I thought was pretty good, actually. So this is from our author, L.R. Knost, I'm going to say. And they said, life is amazing, and then it's awful. And then it's amazing again. And in between the amazing and the awful, it's ordinary and mundane and routine. Breathe in the amazing. Hold on through the awful. And relax and exhale during the ordinary. That's just living a heartbreaking, soul-healing, amazing, awful, ordinary life. And it's breathtakingly beautiful. So I hope that was helpful for some of you. I didn't really write a lot to share, but does anybody have thoughts or questions they want to contribute or things that they thought they connected with? Sure, go ahead, please.
Connected with the whole thing.
Really? Thank you.
I mean, what's so wonderful to know that you're not the only one gone through that or feeling like that or tried to read and and it's so awesome to share some of the authors of the books and things that help you, because I'm always trying to think, what can I read?
Right.
You know, right. feels these things.
Right.
And we find out, you have that too.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and you're doing something about it.
Thanks, thanks, that's great.
Yeah, and that is really similar to what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing your story.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And it is the rare one where someone feels comfortable, like really poor in the water.
Right, right.
But that's, I think, what speaks to us the most as
Thanks.
Humans is because we're, every single person who comes here, all the thousands of people who walk into this building are coming here with an intention.
Right.
And usually that intention is connected to how am I better with myself? How am I mm-hmm. better with my relationships? How do I fight some demon or some past or something?
Right. Right.
And yet we all feel uncomfortable talking about that.
Exactly.
We feel uncomfortable shedding tears. I totally normalize it.
Right, right, right.
Because we should, right?
Right.
We're all human. So
right.
thank you for being vulnerable.
Thank
I
you.
I love your part about equanimity. For me personally,
yeah.
that has been the most beneficial part of my practice is
Interesting.
Finding a way to let that balance allow
right.
really crappy things. Right.
Right. Right.
That's really hard
for me. Yeah. I think Bhante Sujata has really taught me too, just that it is a practice, right? I think I've made a lot of mistakes along the way, and I'm not perfect. I'm not sort of professing perfection, and neither is Bhante. I think in terms of we keep starting over. Every day is a new day, and there's some days where I'm a better self, and some days I'm still got some work to do. So I think it's we're all kind of a work in progress, right? It's practice. Yeah, sure. Great, thank you. We have, yeah. I know, that's what they keep telling us, right? Exactly, exactly. But it's interesting how even so with so much sort of work, it all comes back to sort of really some fundamentals that even, the Buddha really understood the mind, right? And sort of how an understanding of your mind and how your mind works is sometimes the most valuable answer to anything because it kind of explains a lot in terms of what's going on and how to handle things. So for a guy who was thousands of years ago, compared to sort of your modern psychoanalysts, right? It's amazing how similar there are some overlaps there, for sure.
Yeah, I feel like science is just catching up.
Yes. Right. 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 And part of it is that mindfulness, that slowing it down, right? I think a lot of our lives are moving so fast and our reactions and we're flooded with information and sometimes negative. I feel like a lot of the news that we receive is very negative and can kind of wire our brains that way. And we have to be a little more mindful about what we take in, both in terms of what we're watching, what we're learning, but also how we take care of our minds physically, chemically, right, and things like that. And so how does that impact our minds? Oh, yeah, please. That could have gone totally differently, right? I mean, you could have told yourself, berated yourself for forgetting to turn it off, or that person calling you while you're here, right? Just where that could have gone. That's great. It's a practice.
I think one part of a meditation practice
And that's agreed, and that's tough for me sometimes because I feel like I want to react, and I feel like they deserve to get yelled at for cutting me off, right? But that's, right, it happened, it's over, the cutoff is done, right? You don't have to keep relive it. Right, it might not be personal, and I remember Bhante Sujata telling a story sometimes too of something that happened, and then you're the one that's upset about it. Well, now you just ruined your own day. What is that? That doesn't do anything for you, right? Not that it's okay. Not that, again, that's been my struggle too of letting go of, in terms of like letting go about something that happened that I don't like and I'm not happy with. I'm still can be unhappy with it, but letting it go is better for me. Doesn't mean it's okay. It just means it's done. And not take it personally. It can be, right? Exactly. Especially with the stories we tell ourselves, right? Exactly, right, right. I agree.
Uh-oh.
Right, right. Right.
And I almost hit people.
Yes, right.
And so every time she'd be in a little thing, I'd be like, oh, did you notice
that? Like, oh
my gosh, did I really cut somebody off? Right. And I really like drilled that into her heart. Like right. Every time you think someone did something to you, I promise you, you have done the same thing, and you're not aware. As more driving, right? We're so focused. We have this really narrow focus. But gosh, I think I walked through my whole life that way.
Right.
So every time I think someone has slighted me, or oh, they said this and it was offensive. Right. They probably weren't paying attention, or there's probably twice as many times when I did it than I did it.
Exactly. Exactly.
And for me, that it really plays into the equanimity is that awareness mm-hmm. that other people aren't paying attention to me as much as I think they are when I make mistakes. But also, I make tons of them, I just don't see.
Right. Exactly, that's true.
Or when you do, like, if you're driving poorly, it's because, you know, you're distracted or you know, you're something like that. But if somebody else says it, they're an idiot.
Exactly, right. Exactly, right. 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 Yeah, and you and I have practiced a little bit sort of saying, well, maybe they are late for work, or maybe they got to get to a sick parent or something like that, right? Trying to sort of maybe try to re-explain it or reframe it, right, reframe it. Right, right. Well, because you're a lot less angry if they're trying to get to a sick loved one or they're trying to get their dog to a vet, which could also be just as true as they're an idiot and they cut me off, right? But which one makes you feel less angry, right? Right.
I will say I really like the rain.
Yeah.
As soon as you stop, like seeing the rain, it comes down.
Yes. Yes.
And then after that rainfall happens, and after you process the emotion, the action,
right.
The clear skies will eventually.
Ooh, that's great. I like that.
And so when you're explaining to me, you know, like, well, that's actually very true because once it rains,
it's done.
After you go through it, that clear sky.
Yeah. Ooh, I love that.
Or something, a rainbow, something beautiful, pretty, comes at her.
Oh, that's an amazing analogy. I love that.
And so, like, it truly sparked. Like,
yeah. Yeah, that's what Buddhism would talk about, sort of the clear mind, right? Exactly.
Thank you for sharing.
Sure. Thanks for sharing as well. Thank you. Thank you. That's all being, yeah. Thank you, everybody, for sharing and for listening and for kind of holding the space for me. Yeah, sure.